CliffCentral.com.
I mean, the news that the whole world is talking about and that no one can ignore this morning, and I think for good reason, is the death yesterday of Queen Elizabeth II, who really has been witness to 70 years of unbelievable change on the planet. And I think did a singularly good job of stewarding us into a new century, and of helping people who wanted to maintain some foothold on tradition and on the past, helping those people to deal with an uncertain future. And there are things about tradition which and history which make that kind of role especially important. And to people who don't understand that, because they perhaps don't have a care or appreciation for tradition and history, well, for those people, all of the things that you will see in the next few months as a result of this one woman's death will seem ridiculous and will seem outrageous and will seem unnecessary and archaic and silly. I have to tell you that there is a part of me that thinks monarchy is ridiculous. If you examine it on its face and with regard to, you know, how systems of government have improved over the years and how we've become better at managing realms and countries and sovereignties, then it does look silly. But there is something also, an equal part of me, which clings to tradition, has a respect for history, realizes that the answers that we think we are now so good at providing will look equally stupid to generations that come after us. And the only way that we will maintain any kind of dignity, if the future is to look back on us kindly and generously, is if we are equally respectful and equally generous to that which came before us. There is always a place in this world for people who honor tradition, people who create and maintain and carry culture forward. And the British monarchy is one of the few surviving institutions in the world, and there really are only a few of them, that can hearken back to 1,000 years or more of history and can claim and can lay claim to stories that are so intricate and interwoven that not even a Tolkien or a J.K. Rowling could write them. In fact, they are the basis so often of how we explore the past, how we try to contrive a future. And it is sad. I personally can't tell you that I'm emotionally devastated by the death of the Queen. I think that that is something that perhaps her closest family can say with confidence and honesty and sincerity. But I still feel that we finally said goodbye to an extraordinary generation, a generation that guided us through an enormous and devastating and globe-changing history-writing war, the Second World War, and what the Queen and her parents managed to do for a nation which was at that stage still a world superpower was nothing short of heroic. And yes, a lot of people say, well, standing on a balcony and waving is not heroic. Well, you know what? The people who grew up around the Queen and the people of her generation would beg to differ. And I always say, just like I do to anyone who has, you know, modern ideas, don't look back and criticize people who came before you because you think that they're backward and archaic and silly. Unless you're absolutely sure that what you're doing isn't going to look archaic and stupid and silly when people in 100 years from now look at us. You know, it's sort of like when you walk into someone's house and everything's very modern. It can look very nice. It can be very stylish. It can be very en vogue. It can be very impressive. It can be up to date and innovative and very clever and expensive even. That can be impressive to people. But if you walk into someone's house and you see a cabinet that has been in the possession of that family for 400 years, or you see a threadbare carpet that was once walked over by, you know, great statesmen of the 1700s, then I think there's a level of basic humility and respect that should kick in, unless you're the kind of person who really has no respect for any institutions. And we can see those people all over the world today. It's not hard to find them. They're usually terrific underachievers of their own, by their own measure, by the measure of everyone around them. And they're not the kind of people who have respect for anything, including themselves, usually. You know, I'm paying as little attention as I possibly can to the attention-seeking sort of people who will use the death of anybody to make it about them and will try to gather for themselves as much of the spotlight as they possibly can in a moment of triumph or tragedy. And there are lots of those people on the internet these days. We have to see them more than we might have when they were just on the street hollering from a soapbox on the corner of two roads with a cup jingling and jangling some coins and hoping for some attention. And now we have to hear them and see them on the internet. So I'm not going to give them much more attention than in that sentence I just completed. But I do think that the death of the Queen is symbolic, and it is the end of an era, and a mighty tree has fallen. And that tree is not just a person, it is tradition, and it is history, and it is now the job of the succeeding generation to continue that. So we'll see what happens. But to pretend that this doesn't mean anything makes you a very, very silly, very vacuous, a very suspicious person. Anyway, I mean, I'd love to hear what you think of this. I'd like to talk about this rather than monologue about it for another 10 minutes. So if you have anything to say, you could drop us a comment. Also got some voice notes. And in fact, I'm going to start off with a voice note. Pretty much had my say about the Queen, but we could talk about that some more if you'd like to. Listen to this quickly.
Gareth, how's it? Greetings from South Sudan. Just want to let you guys know that I was listening to you, Gareth, and Lebang and Flax ranting about how we're going to char cockroaches in 2030. When it almost sunk a Land Cruiser in a sinkhole, not the cool roads there in South Sudan. But honestly, guys, you guys really make this shithole country a lot more bearable. And yeah, keep up the good work. Ben, if you're on today, you're flipping good oak. I really, really miss Wednesdays with you and Gord. Hashtag Decimal Dan. Like you guys, Francois.
Nice. Thank you, Francois. Yeah, Ben will be back a little bit later on from 6:30. Gord joining us at 7:00, so exciting things. Sean says, I hope Apple doesn't call the iPhone 14 the Queen Elizabeth edition. God, I'm seeing such funny memes about the new Apple iPhone. It's kind of ridiculous. They just changed the color, really. Some of the comments on the socials have been vile, really vile. Zero respect, not just the institution, but for a woman, a remarkable woman. Well, it shows you that all of the people who say those things actually don't care about women at all. Because here's a woman who, by an accident of birth, sure, achieved things and presided over things and oversaw and took part in every global event at the highest level for the last 70 years. And there'll be some left-wing feminist who'll say, oh, no, she's just a, you know, dinosaur of an old colonial era, blah, blah, blah. They'll give her no credit for being a woman in a very much man's job. She's just disregarded as an inconvenient accident, much like they'll regard, you know, all three British prime ministers who are female have been conservative, which just doesn't suit the people on the left. So they just pretend they're not there, you know. Nobody took Margaret Thatcher seriously for the same reasons. Though I hasten to add, the Queen has never been political. Which, in today's day and age, is probably the rarest and most precious and most valuable thing any human could be, is apolitical. And she's maintained that for 70 years on the job. We've never known what the Queen really thought politically. We've never had an inkling of how she might vote if she were allowed to vote. You know, talk about the franchise being universal. I mean, you can say many things, but you can't claim that the Queen ever got to cast a vote in an election, and she didn't. Certainly not while she was Queen. And we never knew anything about her opinions on things, something which is now garden variety on the internet. So, you know. I'm always sad when one hears of a family who lost their mother or grandmother, and this family will be scrutinized in their grief. That is so very hard. Well, it won't be the first time for them, and it won't be the last. But I think it's going to be interesting to see how people react to what happens now, because this hasn't happened for 70 years. And we're going to see sometime next year, probably in the summer next year, a coronation. I mean, if you think that the royal ceremonies and pageantry and pomp and circumstance of a jubilee is an impressive thing, and if you think that harkens back with carriages and marching soldiers and, you know, that sort of thing to an earlier era, well, you have no idea. The coronation ceremony, which we're going to see, is 1,000 years old. And some of the rituals there have not been changed since the time of Norman the Conqueror, since the time of King Charlemagne. You know, these are things which are truly ancient. And you know, like Chesterton once said, the great G.K. Chesterton, he suspects always as ignorant the man who breaks down a fence without asking first why it was put there. And this is true for things like monarchy. You can say, as Churchill said, that that democracy is the best of a bunch of terrible systems. And I paraphrase him there. But you cannot disregard the fact that Britain has been one of the most stable countries in the whole modern world for at least the last 200 years, since before the Industrial Revolution even. Because it has had this interesting mix of hereditary monarchy and constitutional democracy. You can criticize it, but show me a better system. And the US system is possibly, from the point of view of pure efficiency and checks and balances, the only one that you could regard as superior. And remember, when you quote countries like Canada or Australia or New Zealand or perhaps Jamaica, or any others, you have to remember that the Queen is also head of state of those. Well, now she isn't. King Charles III is. But, you know, to throw all of that out, to say, oh, well, it's stupid, then I have to ask who you think you are to say that that's stupid when your own CV can't really measure up. And I say that with confidence. Very few living human beings who have a CV that can measure up. indeed, a large tree has fallen. I work for a large company in the UK, so I'm hearing now how much people are affected, and we as South Africa need to show our respect. Well, you don't have to show your respect, but you can shut up if you don't want to be respectful. You know, I've never had a huge amount of respect for the dead, and I'm the first to admit that last night I was already sending, you know, sort of jokey things to family. I'm not going to put that stuff out on the show now, but in a few days, I'll probably start joking about it too. There are already people saying, oh, wow, she wasn't, you know, like the dinosaurs here forever. There are lots of funny things you could remark about the Queen here, and I'm happy to share those things. I think it's hilarious. I mean, we made read out Sean's comment about the iPhone 14, the Queen Elizabeth edition. So I'm not precious about it. But I do think it's absolutely unbelievable how many people are just filled with the most ugly kind of malice. So we shall see. Congo Chris says, fun fact, Mandela was the only non-royal who referred to her by first name. That's partly true, but not entirely, because the Queen does, there are a few people who've been able to refer to her by first name. Some of them very close friends, even though they weren't necessarily royal. So there are a few, but certainly Nelson Mandela was one of a very, very small circle of people who was able to do that. And she was very fond of him. And I think, you know, for good reason. He was a man who she could really be herself with. A man whose own achievements meant that he didn't have to defer, and that he didn't have to bow and scrape, and also that he didn't have to feel superior. She knew probably more secrets than any other living person, and not one of them was ever revealed, even by mistake. How many of us could say that about ourselves? when someone tells you something in confidence. Yeah, just a silly thing. Like, you find out that one of your friends is cheating, and you keep that a secret. Now, imagine at the level of international politics, where there are secrets flying around about things to do with nuclear weapons, to do with wars, invasions, threats to national security. And she kept all of that secret. The only time that a prime minister could really open up was when they had their weekly audience of the Queen. And in that way, I think a lot of English historians have said that constitutional monarchy is quite superior because it allows some steam to be let off between the executive branch of government, in this case the prime minister, and the head of state, the Queen. Anyway, it's interesting. Here's Congo Chris, listen, while we're talking about his comment.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. It's me, the guest pest, the warning in the morning, the mayhem of 6 a.m., the undefeated, undisputed, and undeniable heavyweight champion of the comments section, your boy Congo Chris. And I just wanted to say, it's the weekend, baby!
Nice, and indeed it is. Okay, so, I'm very sad for Jesse Clegg, says Dearlinda Oliveira. Yes, Jesse Clegg, the mother of his child, I'm not sure if they were married or not, died also of cancer. Poor old Jesse, I mean, really has had a rough time of it. His father not so long ago, now the mother of his children, his long-time relationship, perhaps wife, I'm not sure what the details were. I didn't know them closely enough. But yes, I saw that yesterday too. So our sympathies there. Therence says, can't the monarchy be abolished with her death? I'm not hopeful about that, Charles. And then what? Liz Truss? I mean, is Britain to be represented by Liz Truss? Are we going to sweep everything that anyone in the world likes about Britain? The palace, the soldiers, the pageantry, the history, the extraordinary stories. Are we going to throw all of that in the rubbish bin and condemn it to museums and instead have to listen to Liz Truss or Boris Johnson? Is that what you'd prefer? I'm pretty sure that the people of Britain wouldn't. Anyway, I wonder. Nicely said, your laughter can lighten the mood, but a time for mourning is necessary. Well, if you feel that is necessary, there are going to be supposedly 12 days of mourning. The Queen will be buried on a day 10 days from now, according to what I've read, so that'll be Sunday next week. And she'll lie in state, and I mean, the crowds that already gathered outside Buckingham Palace last night was extraordinary. It was quite something to see. Such sad news, says Sharon. 2 weeks of mourning is a bit much, don't you guys think? Well, you see, some people think it's not enough. Some people think it's too much. I don't know. That's not for me to decide. She was a driver during World War II. She had to tolerate all types of people, and she did for the UK. Long live Boris Johnson, says Congo Chris. Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting that at the moment that the Queen draws her last breath, Charles becomes king, which is what happened last night, or yesterday afternoon. He's taken the regnal name of Charles III. He could have probably taken another name. He might have taken his grandfather's name and gone as George VII. But I think he's elected. Everyone knows him as Charles. It would be odd if he suddenly changed his name to George now. And, you know, his reign is unlikely to be even a tiny bit as long as his mother's. He's already 73 years old. So for Charles, he is kind of a space saver for the next generation. He's been the longest in waiting heir apparent to the British throne in history. And everybody's worried about what kind of a person Charles is and what his political beliefs are and, you know, what kinds of things he has done in his life and personally what sort of character he has and all of that stuff. Because people are really stupid. They don't understand that the institution trumps the person in it. There have been awful, god-awful people who've occupied the throne of various countries over the years. And if the institution is greater than the person, which is very much the case in a place like Britain, after 1,000 years of established tradition, it doesn't matter what the character of the person is. Not that I have a problem with King Charles III. I think he's exactly the right kind of person to be a king. He is just enough of a you know, a genuflection to the past, to be a curiosity, a historical curiosity. He's definitely a child of the 1940s and carries some of his parents' gravitas forward, although not nearly as much. But then obviously that, because he hasn't had the time that they have, you know, to do this in terms of being in the role of the king. And everybody seems to think that the rules are just made up on the spot, you know, like their own chaotic lives. This is what happens. People are like, oh, but is he going to abdicate? Doesn't it pass directly to William? You know, just because all of the rest of the world is in chaos and run by buffoons like Joe Biden doesn't mean that there isn't a script for this. Doesn't mean that over 1,000 years they haven't figured out the best way to smoothly transition from one thing to another. And that is precisely why so many people look to the monarchy as a source of comfort and inspiration, because they know what they're doing. They've been doing it for an exceedingly long time. And people who don't understand that and who live in constant turmoil and chaos imagine that everything in the world is turmoil and chaos, and that everyone has absolute agency, or that they have none. And in a situation like this, the rules are written down. I wonder how Mrs. Narcissist Markle is going to turn it to be about herself. Oh yeah, you just wait. She's going to pitch up at some point with some terrible attention-seeking effort. You know, she's precisely the kind of person, actually, who would be saying horrible things on the internet if she weren't being held back by a tiny modicum of what remains of her sense of decency. And I don't think there's a lot, but it's enough to stop her from going online and saying terrible things about the Queen. Is it true that Prince Philip has not been buried yet? Yeah, that is true. He's in the Royal Vault at Windsor. He's on a slab under the St. George's Chapel nave, and he's waiting for the Queen to join him, and then they'll both be buried together in a separate royal vault that the Queen's parents are buried in, and Princess Margaret. CliffCentral.com.